Welcome to WSHIT's Power Hour for the Lord. If you do feel so inclined to get up and make that donation along with your prayer request, send it to 470-584-8449. And now a brand new song from Brother Reverend Brian.
Speak it, Brother Brian. Speak it, Brother.
I was sitting here alone, talking with the Lord, saying, God, bring me some wine. For I put my trust in you, Holy God. But I feel I'm running out of time. It's been troubling me. I'm so troubled, oh Lord, by this plague that's bothering me. Why am I still flying first class when a jet is all I need? So if you could answer me, Lord, just raise me up and wash me on your shore. Just give me that money. I need that plane so I can fly it to all of my homes. I'm talking about love, pure love. It's love in the first degree. Cause these whores out here, Lord, they just ain't working for free. These hoes, oh Jesus, they just ain't working for free. For free. Oh no. Bobby, that plane, Jesus, I just need it.
WSHIT will be back after this commercial break.
This episode of the commercial break.
Oh my God! Are we going into this? Is this turned into Dr. Phil?
Yes.
Like,
just
what are we doing here?
Well, okay. You want to go there real quick? Let's go there real quick. You want to turn into Dr. Phil? How about Jenny Jones? You worked at Jenny Jones.
Oh my God! Okay,
I have done my homework.
You are not allowed to say that because then that ages me. My God!
You could have been 18 when you did Jenny Jones.
Yeah, but you know what? Yesterday when you were like, hey, is there anything off limits? I should have been like, my age. My age is off limits.
Break. I want to get back to one question. Oscar.
Wait, Brian, can we do this?
Yeah.
Can we, when you and I work together, can we call it Preparation H?
Yes.
Yes, we can call it whatever you want. Preparation H, fluffing, I don't care. Whatever you want to call it, you can call it. I'm going to go fluff Oscar. I'll be right back.
I love that. I love that. Preparation H.
Just the tip. Whatever you want to call it, Oscar, I'm in.
So here's the thing. So I've noticed, Brian, is that I am good on a receiving end.
Wait, what's a blouse? What's a blouse? Tell me what a blouse is.
It's a feminine top. Calm down.
It's a feminine top.
I am good on a receiving end, but I'm not sometimes always good on the other. Also, for all the gay men out there, calm down, because I know you're good right now.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh,
that's Dolphin for
that's
hello.
A dolphin.
Somebody told me you were locked out of your house, Mrs. Cruffin.
I am.
How many keyholes do you have?
I have two. No, nay, three keyholes.
Let me get on it, Mrs. Cruffin.
The continuation of Brian's thespianic porn series.
Yes.
Here in the commercial break porn studios. That's how we make extra money.
That is. Hey, shh.
Quiet. I don't want the IRS to figure it out. I'm Brian. This is Hildy. And
Happy New Year.
Welcome to the commercial break. We're back for another edition. I found out something interesting this morning. I thought you'd love to know this.
What's that, Brian?
The number one determining factor in whether or not you make a connection with someone on Tinder is what now?
I don't know. I thought you were going
to
tell me.
It used to be looks,
okay, right?
That's what swipe right was looks.
That's still a big
that's
part.
That's the algorithm. I'm sure it's still a big part. I'm sure it's right under the following factor. Your political affiliation.
Oh, okay.
Fucking figure that one out, right? But yeah. I guess it's true. Like, if you were a hardcore, Republican, nah. I was talking to a friend about this, and I was like, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, when I was single, I would not have given one shit.
No, it's not a deal breaker.
It wasn't a deal breaker to me. Yeah. I mean, if you're a Republican, okay, we don't see eye to eye on a few things, but I really wouldn't have been like, you know, at least until we slept together a couple of times, and then I maybe would have let you go. But it would have at least gotten you through a couple of dates, right? Mm-hmm. But now you say hardcore Republican, hardcore right-wing extremist, and I'm probably like, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
see you
that's
later.
A deal breaker.
Yeah, and so I can understand why. So the good folks at Tinder keeping us apprised of all the how fucked up our nation has become. Thank you, Tinder. Wonderful. I mean, as if swiping right and left wasn't fucked up enough. They have to do that. Also, in China, I've learned that they are now doing COVID ass drive-through tests.
Oh, my God.
They are testing people.
Drive-through ass tests?
Drive-through ass tests. I guess you stick your ass out the window. Thank you very much.
Beep, beep.
You have a long pole, and they have figured out that testing through your ass is the most effective way to figure out whether it's the quickest way to figure out whether you have COVID.
Oh, okay. That's the rapid.
That's the rapid. It's the rapid. Hey, listen, they've been sticking their fingers up my ass for a long time. And then they all of a sudden decided it wasn't a way to find out about prostate cancer. Go figure that one. In Switzerland, months ago, they were testing the shit. Like, they were testing the water inside of the sewers to determine where the next outbreak was going to be. Mm-hmm. And it was an incredibly effective way to do that. And Switzerland kind of clamped down on their rising COVID problem. So I guess up the ass is just
the way to go.
You do
it.
But
the quickest.
Yeah, it seems like a messy affair on a drive-through test. I had my kids done. Maybe it's easier for the kids, though, because I can, you know.
Well, yeah, the temperature checks.
Temperature checks are much easier up their butt than it is in there anywhere else. www.tcbpodcast.com is where you go to find out more information about Chrissy or I. You can view our entire library, listen to all the audio episodes, and at the commercial break on the ever-growing Instagram account. I think we're almost at 500.
Nice.
Yeah, I figure that's about a
huge.
Third. One-tenth of our audience has decided to take the plunge
yes,
over to
we
Instagram.
Appreciate that one-tenth.
And on the ever-popular Clubhouse, at Ryan Green, at TCB Chrissy, the Commercial Break Club, and the Comedy Podcast Club, you can join that if you need an invitation. I got about 100 of them, so just hit me up. And I think we're on Android now. So,
oh, sweet.
Yeah, so I don't know that for sure, but some people say it. So if you have Android and you want to try it out, I'll send you an invitation. And that is it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watching on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
We're in here in the studio today recording, speaking of Clubhouse. So let me take a minute to explain.
Yes.
So Clubhouse is such a fantastic application. We've talked about it a lot here on the show. It's a social audio app. What does that mean? Well, it means, I don't know what it means, but that's what they call it. And basically you get on this application. It's like chat rooms. Yeah, like the 90s, like telephone chat rooms only. It's through your phone on an application, and there's some kind of management of how people have discussion, right? It's not just a total clusterfuck of 30 people making, you know, horse noises over each other. And it doesn't cost $19.99 a minute.
You go into specific rooms.
You can go into specific
rooms.
Yeah,
and you don't talk.
Whatever.
You don't have to talk if you don't want to.
No. You don't have to talk if you don't want to. Whatever floats your boat is probably there. And one of the things that I like to do is I like to run in and out of the comedy rooms because, you know, trying to be funny on this show. So I like hearing other comics and what they're up to. And during it's perfect timing because during coronavirus, all the comics have to go underground. They can't do their stand up. And so they either have to do it on Instagram. And now Clubhouse, they've found a new place to live and breathe and find an audience. And so there are a couple of rooms or there are a couple of clubs that are very popular on Clubhouse. And I'm just a big fan of some of the comics that come up there. Our guest today is Oscar Aiden. He's a New York-based comic. He's producing 4 shows in 3 boroughs. He says his goal is to do 5 shows in 5 boroughs. He is a wonderful human being and an ever-brilliant personality. Welcome, Oscar Aiden, to the show.
Welcome.
Oscar, how are you?
Oh, my gosh. Can you
follow you around?
All of that, what you just said. Can you take all of that, what you just said, and send it to my parents?
Yes.
How do your parents... Where are you from? Like, I know I've done a little research on you. Where are you from? Where are your parents from?
Oh my God! Are we going into this? Is this
yes.
turned into Dr. Phil?
Yes.
Like,
just
what are we doing here?
Well, okay. You want to go there real quick? Let's go there real quick. You want to turn into Dr. Phil? How about Jenny Jones? You worked at Jenny Jones.
Oh my God! Okay,
I have done my homework.
You're not allowed to say that because then that ages me. My God,
you could have been 18
yesterday?
When you did Jenny Jones.
Yeah, but you know what? Yesterday when you were like, hey, is there anything off limits? I should have been like, my age is off limits.
I'll cut this part out of the show. I promise.
Yeah, exactly. He's like,
editorial control.
I'm keeping this in the show.
Editorial control.
No, I actually, I did. I worked at Jenny Jones when I was like, you know, just a freshman.
Baby.
High school.
Just a young tula right out of high school.
Yeah,
what was it like working at Jenny Jones show?
My God, it was hysterical. It was absolutely hysterical. So I did audience warm-up for them.
Wow.
And it was, I did audience warm-up-ish for them. And then also I was on the show actually a few times.
Oh, you were?
What were you on?
I was on
were you playing
the show
a part?
A few, yeah, so it was one of those, I was in drag where it was like, you're hot, but not hot. Or like, you think you're hot. But you're not that hot. Or some one of those like really awful branded episodes that they do.
The clickbait, early clickbait. Yeah. They just say something
and
ridiculous and try and follow through on it. Yeah.
Right. And so like I would be there and I would judge them and be like, girlfriend, that was those shoes. And I look back and I'm like, oh God, like I was the reason for reality TV. You know? I'm just like, oh no.
Jenny Jones, for those that don't know, we might have some younger listeners. We do have some younger listeners. For those of you who don't know, it's like a precursor to, I don't know, Dr. Phil, Jerry Springer mix of it, all of it.
Yeah.
Jenny Jones was like, I think she was angling to be Oprah at the time, and then she kind of went the other direction.
They all
and
do.
Just had it fun. Yeah, they all
when
do.
They figure out they can't be Oprah. They all are like, all right, let's go to the trash.
Well, what an experience to have at a young age. So when do you make the decision you want to be a comic? Is that, are you already there?
Gosh. Let's see. So I actually, going back to the question that you asked me, Brian, is that I am from Chicago. I actually, I studied a very prestigious school. I studied at Columbia.
Holy shit.
Nice.
Yeah. College in Chicago. So it was very amazing.
Looks and brains.
I always like to say that because people are like Columbia in New York. And I'm like, no, college in Chicago. because like, I mean, it's the college for performing arts people who are awful at everything else. Like my science class was the science of chocolate and candy. Like, that's how dumb I was.
I love that, though.
That's how dumb I was. That I had to, like, they'd be like, okay, so how is chocolate made? And I was like, oh, God, this is too complicated.
I can see the professor like, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll? And Oscar's
and
like, I'll figure this one out.
Okay, I can answer that one. But no, I, what was the question?
You grew up in Chicago. Your parents, like, I know you're ADHD.
Yeah, you have ADHD, so I'm sorry.
Your parents, where are they from? Like, where are they from? Are what is your
parents? My mother's Norwegian, my father is Turkish.
Ah, yeah.
I grew up in the outskirts of Chicago.
I know,
and I don't tell people that because you always like, oh, I grew up in Rockford, and they're like, what shithole place is that? And I'm like, oh, I grew up in Chicago.
I say the same thing.
Now, Rockford is not a shithole. I'm sorry. Rockford's not a shithole. I can't say that. It was definitely a city that I was excited to get out. Let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I tell people the same thing. I was born in Oak Forest, Illinois, but I was born in the Palos Heights Hospital, which is the Chicago hospital. So I always say Chicago because trying to explain to someone that you're actually not from the city of Chicago, it's just a lot cooler to say that you're from Chicago. And also, then people understand geographically where you're talking about, because no one knows where the fuck Oak Forest, Illinois is, or Rockford, Illinois.
Atlanta kind of is very spread out too. So if you said Alpha,
but Atlanta's not Chicago. Chicago's a much cooler city. So your dad is Turkish. How do you end up in New York? So you grew up in Chicago,
The thing is though, is that when it comes to Chicago, people always think that Chicago is four streets. And I'm like, Chicago is not four streets.
It's much bigger.
It's an entire area. But they're like, oh, four streets. Those four streets. I'm like, no one's from those four streets.
Right.
Those four streets are business. And most of that is Wacker Drive. Like,
that's true.
That's not Chicago.
It's not at all.
We think
of like, I mean, it's like people think of L.A. and they think of, you know, Beverly Hills or Rodeo Drive. But L.A. is a fucking incredibly large city. And it's not you know, Rodeo Drive and Beverly Hills. It's so much more than that. Chicago, you're right, is the same way. And I heard an interesting line. I think it was on a West Wing episode where the president at the time, who is Martin Sheen, goes, I keep on hearing about Chicago that I have to get there and how amazing the city is. And I hear it from all the people who still who don't live in Chicago anymore. And it's so true. But I think Chicago is a wonderful city. I would never live there again. It's too fucking cold for my taste. Mm-hmm. And it's just a big hairy city. And so Chicago, go ahead.
Well, here's the thing though, Brian. I mean, like, if you look at it, like, Chicago is a great city for people that want to raise kids in a big city feel.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they still want that Midwest, like that Midwest environment and a big city feel. So you're getting the best of both worlds, right? And I think Chicago is a great city. I went to college there. I worked extensively in so many places when I was in college. I think I had like 14 jobs in the span of 3 months. And, you know, it's a great place to live, but I probably would not go back just because it's so cold. However, I will say this. Chicago is an easier city to get around the United States than New York.
Yeah, I feel like I love New York. I love New York. But anytime I think about myself living there with my family and my children, it's a big fucking NO because it's such a beast of a city. And I know so many people that get eaten alive by the city. They go from Atlanta or wherever they're from and they say, I'm going to move to New York. I can make it there. I can make it anywhere. And they go there and they're there for like 6 months and then they come back home because I feel like it just takes a certain type of personality to really make it in a city like New York. It's the biggest of the big. It's the baddest of the bad. It's a beautiful, wonderful city to visit. But for most people, you should not even entertain the idea of living there. How do you feel about New York living there?
Well, here's the thing. If you're going to make it in New York City, the only way that you can do it is if you throw your hat up in the air when you arrive like Mary Tyler Moore. You have to do that. If you don't, then obviously you're not going to make it here. But no, New York is great, but it's exhausting to live in. I mean, it's a city of what, 700,000 million people, and you can feel alone by yourself one day walking down the street, you know? And so it's a great city, but it's one that you have to hustle. Like, you have to know how to hustle, and you have to want the hustle. If you don't want the hustle, and if you don't want that, all right, I guess you can come here and not, if you have a good job and you have good
credit, if you're rich,
then you don't have to work.
Yeah,
but if you don't have a good job and you don't have good credit, like 95% of the people in New York City's, no, I shouldn't say that. A lot of people do have good jobs, but if
they just
have
shitty credit,
amazing 800 credit, then it's a, you know, it's like you gotta hustle a little bit. Like, I, you know, okay, maybe I'm making generalizations. I don't know, but.
We're a show full of generalizations, so please continue.
Yeah. Okay, great. No, New York City is a great city if you want to come and you have a dream. But, I mean, there's reality versus expectations.
Correct.
Sure.
And yeah. I think, yeah. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what either of those words mean, but I hear a lot of people saying it, so I just repeat it.
Well, like, for instance, I used to watch Sex and the City when I was younger, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go up there. It's going to be exactly like that. And, you know, it's not.
No, it's exactly not. No, there's nothing like this. I mean, that's the thing, is that Sex and the City is an incredibly, you know, horrible portrayal of New York City, because everyone has wonderful, big, beautiful apartments. Mm-hmm. They all run around seemingly with no jobs and a ton of money. It's like, if you don't have that kind of access, then... You know, it's. I think he's right. You have to hustle in that city to make it. And you're probably living in a, you know, 3-foot by 3-foot apartment, taking public transportation everywhere you go, hoping that you can get groceries tomorrow. Oscar, what do you look for in a woman?
Awkward. But can I just say something?
Of course you can.
I'm going to say this as a gay man, and this may trigger some people.
Okay.
And some people might have the need to cancel me, and I don't know if that's necessary right now, but maybe we'll just take it as is. I have never seen an episode of Sex and the City.
Oh my God.
It's okay.
There it goes.
There's always tomorrow.
Every vision and thought I had of a gay man just out the window. All my gay friends, that's just unbelievable. You've never seen Sex and the City? I'm a straight white man, and I've seen Sex and the City. How have you missed an episode of Sex and the City?
I can't get into it. I just can't get into it.
Oh, Oscar, we got to talk.
There's nothing good about it. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. It's my opinion. Of course, there's a lot good about it. Fashion trends were set. You know, there was this whole dialogue about independent women. And I think that's great. I just was never a fan of the show.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm a fan. Now, if we talk about the Golden Girls,
love the Golden Girls.
Love the Golden Girls.
I'm a Golden Girls fan, but I've been ostracized.
They took away your card.
Just add G to everything, like gay ADHD, gostracized. You know, like all that. I've been ostracized for not having seen Sex and the City.
It seems a little strange that you're a gay man and that you've never seen Sex. It seems a little strange. Let me just take the gay out of it. It seems a little strange that you're a human and never seen an episode of Sex and the City. I feel like that show is so incredibly popular.
But I've never actually had the patience or the, like, I've never had the desire to sit down and watch a full episode.
I didn't make it through many of the episodes. Yeah.
Right? It's like Ina Gartner and Barefoot Contessa. Great show.
Can't listen to that fucking voice. Yeah, that's right.
But you know what, though? I'll fall asleep during it.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Like, honestly, I love Barefoot Contessa, but they should actually sell her voice as an audiobook to put babies to sleep.
Right.
Because it is so fucking monotone and flat.
I agree.
It is.
It's just like...
She has great recipes, though. Really good.
What's her husband's name?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey. Gonna make some
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey. Jeffrey. Do you want to know something? Jeffrey loves my potatoes.
It is like that.
When I put melted cheese on them. What is she saying?
I know.
I'm going to make vodka. I'm going to make penne alla vodka. And it's going to be amazing. Do you want to know why? Because I took Jeffrey to Italy once. And I went to Italy. And now every time we come back, she makes me make penne alla vodka. And you're gonna love it too.
He's got ASMR for Ina Garten. I feel like Barefoot Contessa. I feel like she lives in a world that no one lives in. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
I had the butler set up a table in the chalet for 15 people. It's like, what?
Well, they're childless. And she makes a bunch of money.
How much was the cheese? $7,000.
Yes, exactly.
Everybody loves seven.
Just throw some in there.
I had it flown. I had it flown first class from Italy.
Yeah, flown first class from England. Yeah, Enrique Iglesias.
The cow.
Italian, is he? Oh, that's awkward.
Yeah,
he's not.
The cow drank champagne the entire life. That's how the cheese came out. So wonderful.
So soft.
Let's take a walk out to the chalet where the napkins are gold plated.
She's like, if you can't, I love making breakfast with ostrich eggs. And if you can't get ostrich eggs at your local supermarket, you can always order them
from Amazon. Who the fuck orders ostrich eggs?
Who does? What world does she live in where someone's gonna be like,
so
you know what?
Fucking true.
I totally did not make my eggs with ostrich today. My husband Monty doesn't know.
What does she do? Can I ask a question? Does anybody know what she does for a living besides be on TV? Because it seems like they have an incredible dick load of money.
Yeah, no, they do.
She sold her store in the Hamptons.
The Hamptons. Oh, that's how she started.
That's why she's always in these beautiful locations. Mm-hmm. That looks like she's in the Hamptons because she's in the Hamptons. Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Barefoot Contessa.
Barefoot Contessa. So that's where she, you know, and then, you know, obviously a lot of TV folk like going out to the Hamptons. So I'm pretty sure an executive producer out there was like, we should put you on TV. And then, you know, history was made.
The guy just wanted free cheese at Barefoot Contessa. And now all of a sudden it's a show that won't, ostrich eggs. Who the fuck gets ostrich eggs?
I mean,
disgusting to me, by the way.
I've never had
them. I'm assuming that anybody who gets free food at her place is like winning the lottery, you know?
Yeah.
That's worth. I'm going to resell that.
That's what it is.
Stern lives on the Hamptons. I wonder if he goes to Barefoot Contessa. I bet he doesn't even show his face half the places. Oscar, what has it been like? Oscar, I love that name. What has it been like for a comic in New York City during this pandemic that we're going through? Truth.
How do I answer that? I think it is to each their own.
Yeah.
So I looked at it as, you know, obviously this pandemic hurt a lot of people and a lot of entertainers, especially comedians and the performing arts, especially and Broadway and everything when they shut down. And it was really terrible because that's how people made their money. Like that's how they got spots and they got paid for these things. And so, you know, I think the pandemic was obviously awful, but it really helped in a way because it opened up a new door to comedians taking and making things their own. And that's
true story.
The biggest thing is to see how it's great to see how comedians have adapted to this pandemic. Because, I mean, let's be honest, like, you know, the pandemic of 1912, no one was standing outside of their barn being like, Gert, we've got Gert and her lady comedy, you know, two fields down, why don't you come? No one was barking outside of their barn trying to get people to come in and watch a fucking comedy show, it's
true. They were just worried about the next meal was going to come from.
Be on the Titanic next week, and you're like, that's just not how it works. So I think what happened was is, a lot of people obviously went to Zoom comedy shows. That started taking off. Like people were doing Zoom comedy shows. But you had a lot of comedians who are like, I'm not doing that. That's not real comedy. Listen, you know what? To each your own. But I look at it as a spot is a spot. No matter whether it's online, in the dingy basement, on a stage, a spot is a spot. If I have an opportunity to work on my craft and make people laugh, then I'm happy no matter where it is. You know, like, I'll do it. So I think what comedians did in New York City is, you know, a lot of the before the pandemic, it was very much club-based. And that's great because these clubs are places where a lot of people get their footing into comedy and really get to shine in front of an actual concrete audience.
Because
when you do shows out in the park or at these venues, a lot of times you don't know who's going to show up. You don't know what kind of audience there is. But when you do shows at comedy clubs, you know that you're going to actually do comedy at a comedy club and people are there to see comedy.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like, yes, comedy clubs, yes, 1,000%. They should have been back a long time ago. But obviously the people in our city didn't want that to happen, which was asinine.
Totally.
But, you know, you also still have the comedians who are very wary about going out. Mm-hmm. And that's understandable. There's no fault. And I think what the thing is, a lot of times is, you know, we shouldn't shame people for wanting to either stay in or go out, right?
It's absolutely.
But at the same token, they shouldn't be chastised for doing what they need to do to further their career wherever that opportunity pops up. And it brings to mind, the connection is made, that how long have you been on Clubhouse for?
I joined February 14th, I think.
February 14th of this year? Well, Jesus Jones, you've been for just like a month and a half and you're like a rocket ship. I mean, honestly, I see you everywhere on that Clubhouse. Do you feel like Clubhouse is a great place to do comedy, or is it hard to do comedy at Clubhouse because you cannot see people's reaction to your material?
I love it because I can finally lay on my bed naked eating pizza. And, I don't get this.
I don't get it either.
Like, why not? Why would I not want to just lie naked and do comedy? You know, like that's the best thing in the world to do is to, what comedian is going to be like, oh, I want to travel 17,000 miles to do a show for 20 minutes.
I've heard it. I've heard this complaint.
Here's the thing. You know what? Like, I've been able to do comedy for 800 people.
Yeah.
800 people on Clubhouse are listening to comedians do comedy. That's a big fucking deal. A lot of comedians, their biggest audience has been, what, 30, 40,
50 people, maybe?
But you're getting audiences of like 1,000, 2,000 people. That's fucking amazing. And so, you know, and people are like, oh, I can't do comedy on there. It's so weird. Listen, comedy is comedy. You can either make people laugh on that. Now, I will say this. Some people who are good at doing live comedy don't always translate well to audio. We've had an experience with this.
Yes, we've had a couple. Well, we'll just say it this way. We've had a number. Oscar and I had a phone call before the show yesterday, and I said that I had unfortunately was unable to air an episode that had aired. And he says, oh, sometimes you don't air episodes that aren't good. And I said, no. And he said, it's good. You throw away your trash or something like that. And I was like, I do, because some people don't translate well. They're not like, you're funny. I feel like now that
an everyday conversation.
So you're funny anyway, right? Doesn't matter where you put Oscar. Oscar's going to be funny because that's his personality. Right. But I think some comics, they only turn on in certain situations, and that certain situation may be what they're conditioned to do, like in front of an audience where they have to fight for the laugh. But you get them on Clubhouse and it falls completely flat, and we've all heard it. I mean, if you've been in as many comedy rooms as I have or Oscar has, you hear it. You hear the people that are really trying to translate that type of comedy into audio only, and it just doesn't work. And it's usually the comics, I believe, this is just my assumption, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but the comics who just have one set, five jokes, and that's it. They've been working on it for a long time. They don't know how to kind of move quick on their feet, right? And adapt. Where Oscar is a fucking riot no matter where you put. If you listen to Oscar on Clubhouse, he is by far the funniest moderator that's out there. By far. No doubt, Oscar. I have to give you props because you are the funniest comic that's on Clubhouse, in my opinion.
Aw, well, here's the thing. A, I greatly appreciate that.
You're welcome.
B, is that I've always been like, I don't know, like, I consider myself a comedian, but I also consider myself like an entertainer.
Yeah.
So I've been, and I think that for me is that some people can be really 1,000% beautiful comedians, and their gift is unparalleled, right? But some people also are entertainers on top of that.
Yes.
That's where I think you get like the that's where you get the real gold, and I'm trying to build up to that. I'm not saying I'm there, but I also am one of those people that's like, I'm not gonna force trying to be funny just to be funny. I'm gonna be like, if it's funny, I'm gonna say something. If not, I'm just gonna keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
But that's what I like about, like, I enjoy Clubhouse because I get to just kind of riff and have fun and do whatever I want, and I appreciate that. And you know, yes, have I, you know, I've looked at it as, when I first started, I was in a room, and it was Nick Hurley, who's a comedian in LA, and Tally Perry, who's a comedian from Canada. I went in, and my friend Daniel Janine, who lives here in New York, was like, you should try the app. So I was like, all right, great. So I went on to Clubhouse, and the first room that I went into, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. But the first room that popped up was vent for 20 seconds and then shut up, which was a great. And it was run by Nick Hurley and Tally Perry and a few other people. And I don't remember who it was, but I'm pretty sure it's a lot of the people that I see around now. And I vented something, and they were like, oh, this guy's funny. They brought me up on stage. And then they modded me, and I was like, I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, okay.
Well, can we just say this? Modded hallway And hand raising was a not on my fucking bingo card for 2021.
Right.
Can we just say that? Like, I don't understand it. If you would have put all that and been like, here you go. Put that on your bingo card. What is this? So, but I thank them because they kind of like helped me, guide me through Clubhouse. And I just kept going to the rooms where they were at.
Yeah.
And I just learned how to do things and learned how to speak and learn how to moderate. And so now it's like, I enjoy being that. I've also kind of taken a little bit of a break. Like, I'm like, meh, sometimes. Like, the big rooms are great and I enjoy them. But then there's a part of me that's like, meh.
I agree with you.
It's ebbs and flows.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think there's an obsession factor to Clubhouse. It's easy to get obsessed and sucked into it, but then you need to take a deep breath because what do we all, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's like a game. You're just, you know, you're getting followers, you're making friends, you're having fun, but it can consume your life. I'm sure that there's going to be a room for divorcees at some point of Clubhouse because there's some people on there that I see 24 hours a day. I go to bed, they're there. I wake up, they're there. They're never not on Clubhouse. And I wonder if they have lives outside of Clubhouse. Speaking of life outside of Clubhouse, are you single? Is an important question that the audience wants to know.
I am not single.
Whoa! I thought you were the consummate single man out there in the city.
Oh, God. I know. I am currently in a relationship, and I can just tell you it's disgusting.
It's wonderful. Look at that.
I love it.
No one needs to have love in their life. It's absolutely awful.
It's fucked up.
Ryan, before I forget, because I do have gay ADHD, when you do your podcast rooms, I really love, like, I love, like, listening to people, but I go into a lot of the rooms outside of yours, Brian, where I listen to people talk about like podcasts and things like that. And what they don't do is they don't do this, which is the sound test.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
What people don't realize is, like, they'll like, oh, start a podcast and you need this and you need this. But what they don't tell the people is you got to do a clap test.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about the STD.
Right.
I'm talking about the actual clap test where you clap in your apartment to see where the echo is.
Echo goes.
So
that's
you
right.
See behind me is actually whiteboard to stop the echo from what
look at Oscar. Oscar, it took us 22 episodes to figure that out in this fucking room. Yeah. And you should see. You cannot see. If this room is, I know, I would be around the room going like this. And Hosey's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to figure out where the sound is going. So we have carpet on the floor. We have panels all over. It's just, it looks like a disaster. This is the only part of the room that actually
looks
good. It's
held up by one wire.
One of the things that drives me fucking crazy about podcasters is that they will get on and they won't take 15 fucking seconds to make sure that they sound okay. And they sound like they're in a goddamn tin can talking. And then they think that it's a good, you know, I got the best podcast in the world. No, you don't. It doesn't matter if you got fucking Oprah on. If you sound like you're in a tin can, I am not listening to your shitty show. Take 5 minutes, make sure the microphone works and the headphones are on. And you're so right, Oscar. Make it dead. Dead, dead, dead.
Okay, so
that's the key.
I have a question for both of you. Okay.
Please.
Okay. So as a comedian who always loves to learn and wants to grow, and I accept constructive criticism and, you know, and feedback, I would love for you to take time whenever you can and listen to my podcast, GayDHD. It's on Spotify. And tell me what I can do to make it better.
We will do this.
I'd love to.
Oscar, I will work with you personally. On your podcast.
Yeah, and here's the thing. My podcast is, I don't know, maybe I've said this in other places. So my podcast is, I've always wanted to do a podcast because I feel like I just have a natural gift for talking.
I think so.
I never had any friends growing up, so I just talk to myself.
Perfect.
So my thing is, like, and I feel like that's what every podcaster is.
True story. Yeah, like, we're trying to fill a hole in our soul over and over again.
Right.
Every episode. Right. Yeah.
So I started my first podcast was Everybody Calm the Fuck Down. And then I was like, okay, I can't do that because of the wording.
Hey.
All right, well, then I'll do Stir the Podcast. And I was like, no, everybody's tried that. And I was like, all right, let's do GayDHD. And that also stems from ADHD. And I was like, I'm still probably going to change the name 5,000 times because I'm never happy.
Right? Yes.
So I finally settled on GayDHD and I did the artwork and I did the first episode and it sounded awful. And then I did the second episode. But like what I'm noticing is, I'm trying to make sure that it's obviously fun, but I'm focusing on entertainers and comedians who have been diagnosed with ADHD and how they cope with that.
What a brilliant idea. Because I would bet that most comedians, or there's a large subset of comedians who suffer from this problem. That's my guess.
Right. Right. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, so now I've got a list of people that I want to use and everything like that. And I'm excited, right? Ecstatic. And, but I want to know, like, what can I do to make each show different? Because obviously people are tuning in and they want to hear about the experiences. But after a while, you're like, okay, everybody kind of, when it comes to ADHD, it kind of starts sounding the same. So yes. What can I do to ensure that it's always kind of fresh and new?
I feel like you are a ball of entertainment. And what you need is you just need, and you, there are two, in my opinion, there are two types at the Venn diagram of podcasting. There are, at the very top, there are two types of podcasts. There are informational podcasts where you're receiving and giving information, and laughing can be that, comedy can be that information. And then there are personality-driven podcasts. Mm-hmm. You are a personality-driven podcast. If I have ever seen one, Oscar, and I feel like the possibilities are endless with you. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think that if you do ADHD too much, like over and over and over again, by episode number 50 or 60, it's going to be the same story relatively over and over again with a different flavor.
Right.
So Brian Green, podcast coach extraordinaire, hot in demand, will absolutely take the time to sit with you, Oscar, and make sure that you have some material moving forward and that that you figured out. Look at the commercial break. Look at what a huge success we've turned
we're
out to be.
We're ripping up the internet.
We're tearing up the internet.
Yeah, but you guys are very successful.
And well, thank you.
Like, so here's the thing. So I've noticed, Brian, is that I am good on a receiving end.
Wait, what's a blouse? What's a blouse? Tell me what a blouse is.
It's a feminine top. Calm down.
It's a feminine top.
I am good on a receiving end, but I'm not sometimes always good on the other. Also, for all the gay men out there, calm down, because I know you're good at it right now. But I will say, on the receiving end, I'm good. Like, if you're interviewing me, I feel like I'm okay. But when I have to turn the tables and start interviewing people, I feel like I'm getting boring.
Yeah.
That's what my fear is.
A little preparation goes a long way in this. And I will absolutely share with you some of the things that I've learned over our time here at the commercial break. I want to get back to one question.
Brian, can we do this?
Yeah.
Can we, when you and I work together, can we call it Preparation H?
Yes.
Yes, we can call it whatever you want. Preparation H, fluffing, I don't care. Whatever you want to call it, you can call it. I'm going to go fluff Oscar. I'll be right back.
I love that. Love that. Preparation H.
Just the tip, whatever you want to call it, Oscar, I'm in. We'll talk to my
wife. I love that. I'm going to steal that. Preparation H for Preparation Homo. I love that.
I am a straight man who's not afraid of my gayness. I just am not. I love it. I love you, Oscar. I love you to death. Tell me about love.
Oh my God, I love you guys too.
Tell me about love. Tell me about this guy that you're dating. How did you find him?
It's disgusting.
Yeah,
I don't know whoever invented love, but they need to be drug out into the street.
You're just not used to that feeling. You're not used to that feeling of wanting somebody and needing somebody.
Emotions.
Yes, that's it. So how did you meet him during the pandemic?
We met. He's actually a really cool, fun guy. And we both have ADHD, which is great because we never actually finish each other's sentences.
Right. So, just start new ones.
We actually never finish our thoughts.
Yeah.
Literally, hey, where are we going today? Hey, you want to go this road?
Yeah. This is what this sounds like. This is a conversation between the two of us. Hey, what do you feel like dinner? Oh my gosh. Guess what I just saw on Instagram? I was thinking of getting sushi. Oh, I was wanting to go to the park. You know what? I love the park in the summertime. You know what's great in the summertime? Bathing suit. Oh my God, I need to go to TJ Maxx and get a bathing suit. And like 7 hours later, we have no idea.
And 7 hours later,
about.
You're like, I'm still hungry. Yeah, I'm still hungry.
And then what's worse is we both stop. And then we never even think about what we just talked about. We're like,
what are we
actually talking about? No, we actually met at the laundromat.
You met at the laundromat?
That's sweet.
Oh, that's so sweet. You were doing your sundries and
your Sunday best.
Can I borrow a quarter?
All right. This isn't Hallmark. Hallmark. This isn't the Hallmark. Yet.
For once in our lives, we're trying to be serious.
No. So we met What's interesting is those that we probably wouldn't have met if the woman in front of me hadn't taken so long. What's interesting is I was going to drop off my laundry and there was this woman and she was walking kind of like next to me on the sidewalk of New York City. And then she kind of just bolted a little bit faster right in there. And then she took like so long. Now, because she took so long, he actually came in. I was like standing there and we started like, you know, giving each other the googly eyes.
Yeah.
You know, and then, but the only reason like he came in is because I'd been waiting there for so long. I'm assuming had she not been there, I would not have met him. So I don't know.
And yes, this is serendipitous. And this goes back to the Great Walkway Treaty of 2021. If you don't know what the Great Walkway Treaty of 2021 is, Brian wants to install the Great Walkway Treaty of 2021.
We signed it and everything.
Yeah, we signed it and everything where we actually have fucking manners on the street when we're walking with each other. You stand, you walk on the right side. Don't cut in front of each other. Stop walking in front of, you know, there's like some competition about walking. That's why I feel like New York would be bad for me because I would be heated 24 hours a day. I'd be like, do you do that in a car? Do you do that in a car? Fucking ass. Asshole. But look at that. It worked out well for you.
All the time when I'm biking down the street. I bike in New York City and I scream at people.
Yeah.
99% of the time.
It's got road rage on the bike.
Construction workers. But
do the construction workers catcall you?
I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Look at that. Oscar is a handsome man. He looks like a Telemundo star. You really do.
There's a large contingency of possibly bisexual construction workers.
Look at that. This is a secret I did not know.
Yes.
Welcome to that. We're on the inside, Hody. We're on the inside. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is what the show needed the entire time.
Bisexual construction workers from a homosexual.
That's right. Yeah. We needed to know. Yes.
Let's get them on the show, too.
Oscar, I don't even feel like we have scratched the surface. I have a list of questions, 15 miles long, but the truth is that we keep the show to under 45 minutes. I would love to have you back. Are you coming back?
Yes.
My God, that's it?
That's it. That's all we do. We just do it for 30 minutes. I mean, because we know that much like you, the rest of the podcast universe is ADHD. Yeah. And we go over
flip
an hour
around.
And we're literally doing the show to nobody. I mean, I feel like after a while we'll get there where people will listen for longer and longer. But we're only 65 episodes in or ish. And so I feel like we look at the stats and after 45 minutes, people just they turn off and they go away. Yeah. So we want to keep it.
But more interviews like Oscar, I think.
Yeah,
would
I think
help
I agree with
stay
you.
Longer.
I feel like we need to. This is just me talking and people can text me 470-584-8449 or at the commercial break. People can text me and let me know. But I feel like if we brought someone like Oscar on, we should do a real in-depth interview. Like it should go for an hour. Like I feel like we just get warmed up and then it's time to go with the interviews sometimes. And
you should do like the questionnaire where you like you do a poll and be like, do you want
this is true.
We should do that.
Or do you never want to hear this person again?
Yeah.
Oh, Oscar, I have a feeling we're going to get some good feedback about this episode because we've had some others on that didn't work out so hot for us, and you have been
Oscar's been amazing.
You are.
I can't wait to check out your podcast.
I love you too.
I can't wait to listen to your podcast too.
Yeah, and
ADHD.
Don't expect much. Yeah, like I tell people when they go to my Tinder profile, don't expect much. Well, now I don't have one anymore.
He's not single anymore, guys. He's taken off the streets. Don't expect anything. I'm going to put a nice handsome picture on the promo so you can see that. Oscar, will you come back and will you come back soon? Like seriously, will you come back in the next month? Okay, we're going
to
do a part two. We'll follow up with Oscar.
Part two with
Oscar. We do that with the people that we love. Part two coming up. Oscar, Aiden, you can find him at, what's your Instagram?
Oh, it's my biggest thing. So here's my thing. I am trying to drive as many people to my Instagram because as a comedian who produces shows in New York City, one of the biggest annoyances is that I don't have the swipe up feature. Swipe up feature if you are like either verified or if you're like above 10,000 followers. So every time I try and promote shows, I always have to link them, like go to bio, but then I'm like, ugh. So I'm trying to get people to like go to my Instagram, and I think that's the best social currency for me is just pushing people to Instas.
We will. Okay, so tell us what the Instagram is here.
It's Oscar Aiden.
A-Y-D-I-N. Yeah.
Yep.
AYDIN. We'll put all of that information in the show notes. We'll send it out via our own Instagram account. Oscar, you are a man after my own heart. I love you. I'll see you in Clubhouse. I'll help you with your podcast. So just, we'll get together after the show. Thank you so much.
Have an awesome day.
You too,
my friend. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye. That's Oscar Aiden. Wow. I love Oscar.
I love him so much.
Oscar's going to get a part two. There's no doubt about it. Oscar is the man. But he's taken. So just for all of the guys out there who are hoping. And there he goes. He's gone. And for all of the guys who were hoping, Oscar's taken. He's a handsome dude. He looks like a Telemundo star. I'm not even kidding. He looks like a Telemundo star, doesn't he?
He does.
I know he's Turkish, and he's probably mad at me for calling him, you know, Latino. But the truth is, he looks like a Telemundo star. So that's Oscar Aiden. We'll bring him back for part two.
Super funny. I did check out his Instagram stuff, and he's got some really funny videos.
I got lost in it yesterday. Yeah. I really did. Like, at first, on the surface, like, you really have to dig for Oscar stuff. But if you go look for videos, he's done a lot of podcasts. He's done a lot of vodcasts and stuff like that. Some of that you have to dig for a little bit. And mm-hmm. I'll put some links to that on the show. But he is a genuinely funny person. And I feel like also a genuinely sweet person. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the funniness is there. But then there's also this, like, kind of, you know, kind super dude. And in my couple interactions with him, I've had a great time. So, you know, what else? What else is there to say?
I do feel like
we need to push the show a little bit when it comes to interviews.
Yes.
Because I feel like 20 minutes is not enough. 20, 30 minutes is not enough.
Why don't we give people, our listeners as well, too, if they're listening this far, if you've listened to this
They've listened
point.
This far. I think they've made it through the Oscar Aiden.
Send us suggestions. People you would like to see.
People you would like to see.
Please. Yeah. Throw anybody out.
And also, text us, 470-584-8449. If you're interested in us taking the interviews just a little bit further, we'd like to hear from you. Because we know when we did it over the hour, you know, we went over the hour, usually people were bailing after the hour, mm-hmm. right? So if you're interested in the commercial break going a little longer here and there, not every time, but going mm-hmm. a little bit longer when we have guests or special events, let us know. Vote with your fingers. 470-584-8449. Vote with your fingers, and I don't mean the COVID test. Yes, that's correct. So at the commercial break on Instagram, at Oscar Aiden, AYDIN is Oscar's Instagram. Go follow him. Do us a favor. Be a friend of the show. Follow Oscar. And TCB Chrissy, Brian Green, BryanGreen on Clubhouse, the Commercial Break Club, and the Comedy Podcast Club. We're going live inside of Clubhouse next week. So this is airing on Friday. We will be out
We'll
in
announce
Clubhouse.
It on our Instagram.
Yeah, we'll announce it on our Instagram. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to join us, there's probably about 100 people in that Commercial Break Club right now.
Nice.
So I can't decide if I want to go to Comedy Podcast Club or Commercial Break Club, but we'll figure it out.
Okay.
And we'll let you know where to go. And if you're interested, text us and we'll give you more information. And if you need an invite, let me know, because I have plenty of invites. God damn, the Clubhouse has given us so many invites. That must mean we're important, Hoadley.
It does. We are.
Yes, we are. Well, that's it. Much love to Oscar Aiden.
Love
Go follow him on Instagram.
Love you, Oscar.
Love you,
Brian.
Oscar. Love you, too. Until next time. Bye.
The Commercial Break. New episodes on Tuesdays and now Fridays. New YouTube clips drop daily at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Visit tcbpodcast.com for access to our entire media library. Follow us at The Commercial Break on Instagram and join The Commercial Break Club on Clubhouse to join in live recordings. Each episode is written and produced by Brian Green, co-hosted by Chrissy Hoadley, with additional content provided by Tina Connell.